Today is the 10th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and greetings from Istanbul, Turkey. But no matter where you are, welcome back. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is fantastic to be here with you today. We're kind of bringing in the week. We're definitely bringing in the work week for landing, but we're on the very, very back half, right, of the week. We'll land it tomorrow. I'm grateful for this week. I'm grateful for every week that we get to spend together. I'm not always grateful for the week. Right? Like, there's highs and lows, peaks and valleys, challenges and victories. That seems to be the nature of life, at least mine. I suppose everybody's, I think everybody's, at least everybody that I know. So I trust that this week is sailing along smoothly for you, and that we'll bring it in for a good, smooth, non-turbulent landing tomorrow. But we're here now, and we're here to take the next step forward. And we are working through the prophets, the major prophets right now in the Old Testament. And we are well underway in the book of Jeremiah. Today, we'll read chapter 14, verse 11 through 16, verse 15. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague." But I said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, the prophets keep telling them, 'You will not see the sword or suffer famine.' Indeed, I will give you lasting peace in this place." Then the Lord said to me, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, yet they are saying, 'No sword or famine will touch this land.' Those same prophets will perish by sword and famine, and the people they are prophesying to will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and sword. There will be no one to bury them, their wives, their sons, and their daughters. I will pour out on them the calamity they deserve. Speak this word to them: 'Let my eyes overflow with tears night and day without ceasing. For the virgin daughter, my people, has suffered a grievous wound, a crushing blow. If I go into the country, I see those slain by the sword. If I go into the city, I see the ravages of famine. Both prophet and priest have gone to a land they know not.' Have you rejected Judah completely? Do you despise Zion? Why have you afflicted us so that we cannot be healed? We hoped for peace, but no good has come. For a time of healing, but there is only terror. We acknowledge our wickedness, Lord, and the guilt of our ancestors. We have indeed sinned against you. For the sake of your name, do not despise us. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember your covenant with us and do not break it. Do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, Lord our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. And the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. Send them away from my presence. Let them go. And if they ask you, where shall we go? Tell them, this is what the Lord says. Those destined for death, to death. Those for the sword, to the sword. Those for starvation, to starvation. Those for captivity, to captivity. I will send four kinds of destroyers against them, declares the Lord. The sword to kill, and the dogs to drag away, and the birds and the wild animals to devour and destroy. I will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. Who will have pity on you, Jerusalem? Who will mourn for you? Who will stop to ask how you are? You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep on backsliding. So I will reach out and destroy you. I am tired of holding back. I will winnow them with a winnowing fork at the city gates of the land. I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people, for they have not changed their ways. I will make their widows more numerous than the sand of the sea. At midday, I will bring a destroyer against the mothers of their young men. Suddenly, I will bring down on them anguish and terror. The mother of seven will grow faint and breathe her last. Her sun will set while it is still day. She will be disgraced and humiliated. I will put the survivors to the sword before their enemies, declares the Lord. Alas, my mother, that you gave me birth, a man with whom the whole land strives and contends. I have neither lent nor borrowed, yet everyone curses me. The Lord said, surely I will deliver you for a good purpose. Surely I will make your enemies plead with you in times of disaster and times of distress. Can a man break iron? Iron from the north? Or bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as plunder without charge because of all your sins throughout your country. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for my anger will kindle a fire that will burn against you. Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. And the word of the Lord came to me. You must not marry and have sons or daughters in this place. For this is what the Lord says about the sons and daughters born in this land, and about the women who are their mothers and the men who are their fathers. They will die of deadly diseases. They will not be mourned or buried, but will be like dung lying on the ground. They will perish by sword and famine, and their dead bodies will become food for the birds and the wild animals. For this is what the Lord says. Do not enter a house where there is a funeral meal. Do not go to mourn or show sympathy, because I have withdrawn my blessing, my love, and my pity from this people, declares the Lord. Both high and low will die in this land. They will not be buried or mourned, and no one will cut themselves or shave their head for the dead. No one will offer food to comfort those who mourn for the dead, not even for a father or a mother, nor will anyone give them a drink to console them. And do not enter a house where there is feasting and sit down to eat and drink, for this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Before your eyes and in your days, I will bring an end to the sounds of joy and gladness, and to the voices of bride and bridegroom in this place. When you tell these people all this and they ask you, why has the Lord decreed such a great disaster against us? What wrong have we done? What sin have we committed against the Lord our God? And say to them, it is because your ancestors forsook me, declares the Lord, and followed other gods and served and worshipped them. They forsook me and did not keep my law. But you have behaved more wickedly than your ancestors. See how all of you are following the stubbornness of your evil hearts instead of obeying me. So I will throw you out of this land into a land neither you nor your ancestors have known. And there you will serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. But it will be said, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them. For I will restore them to the land I gave their ancestors. First Thessalonians 2:9-3:13. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thoughts, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Psalm 80. For the director of music, to the tune of The Lilies of the Covenant, of Asaph, a psalm. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes. Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Proverbs 25, 1 through 5. These are more Proverbs of Solomon, compiled by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Remove wicked officials from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Okay, obviously we've read quite a bit of Paul in the New Testament. We've read quite a bit of his letters, and probably have sort of a sense of his tone and posture in a lot of things. And we've seen, like, in Ephesians, grand vistas, these massive, like, implications of the gospel that he is preaching. Sometimes really dense theological understandings, really even complicated formulas at times, especially when he's unpacking it in a Hebrew or a Jewish context. Right now we're in 1 Thessalonians, and this is really thought to be maybe not Paul's first letter, but the first one we have, like the earliest New Testament writing that there is. Because Paul's writings do predate, like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for example. So 1 Thessalonians, like, right now, we're not getting these grand vistas of these deep theological understandings. We're just hearing Paul, who has planted this church, encouraging the believers who are just like us. These Thessalonians, like, they had experienced pushback and opposition from the get-go, from the very moment that they became a group of believers together. So Paul has this concern, having experienced plenty of discouragement. He's got this concern that the pushback, the marginalization, even persecution will wear them down, right? And that's fair. Like, don't we get worn down? But that would eventually, you know, the ongoing pushback would stamp out the work that had begun in their hearts. And that is something that Paul reiterates in a number of places in his letters, because he has these concerns for all the churches. So he's telling the believers in Thessalonica how deeply that he desired, and his companions, they all desired to spend more time with them. They wished they had had more time. And of the different attempts they had made to come back to spend more time, it's just that they could never make it work. It could never be successful. And Paul says, that is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that something had gotten the best of you and that the work was fading and useless. So Paul is writing this letter partly because he wants the Thessalonian congregation to understand that they were loved and cared for, and that they were not alone, and they were not the only ones facing opposition. And so Paul's trying to tell them, like, I have tried to come back. I have faced so much opposition to get back to you. You're not the only one. Yeah, you're experiencing intimidation, and you are getting harassed from your own countrymen. But this is happening all over the place. The fellow Hebrews who are not willing to sit down and really pay attention and consider and wrestle with this. This is happening all over the place. So Paul wanted the Thessalonians to know that they were not alone and they had not been abandoned. Instead, they were locking arms, locking spirits, locking hearts with all of the other churches who are all in their own sets of struggles for different reasons in different places, all struggling together for freedom, for spiritual freedom. So that is encouraging, especially if we're facing, you know, what we would consider opposition, marginalization, misunderstanding, especially spiritual misunderstanding. Then we can first be aware that what we are doing is taking our place in a long and unbroken line of our fellow brothers and sisters that stretches all the way back to this letter, who have all endured in different contexts for different reasons at different times the same struggle for spiritual freedom. It's actually that pressure, that opposition, that pushback, that is how the gospel actually spread throughout the earth. And from Jesus forward, the scriptures continually tell us not to be surprised by that. But the scriptures also continually and repeatedly tell us that we are not alone in it. So Jeremiah, we're reading Jeremiah as well. He is the weeping prophet. He is discouraged a lot of the time, right? He feels alone. And he's receiving direct comfort from the Lord when he cries out as well. So this goes all the way throughout the human story. Then we can receive the same words of encouragement that Jeremiah did, because God spoke them. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. They will fight against you like an attacking army, but I will make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer you. I'm with you to protect and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken. That is encouraging when we're feeling misunderstood. Centuries later, Paul prays an encouraging prayer over the Thessalonians that is also in the Bible, and we can also take on board for ourselves. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. So maybe remember this day when you're feeling alone. Maybe write that, if you got the app, write that this in your journal and star it. Remember this day when you're feeling overwhelmed or the pushback is just too much opposition. And come back here and see these words of encouragement, Old and New Testament. You are not alone. Don't mistake the pushback, the challenge. Don't confuse that with abandonment. God's presence and the presence of our fellow brothers and sisters, that doesn't make things easy, but it is the promise that we're not alone and we can rise to the challenge and become stronger. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you completely, fully, deeply into that. Because becoming weary is so easy, and to become discouraged and misunderstood, it wears us down and chisels away at our resolve and our strength. But we are not alone. You will not abandon us, but we are not alone. We are not the only ones. Help us to hold on to that and remember that, because so often it feels different than that. It feels like we are the only one. We are alone. So bring encouragement through your Holy Spirit into our lives today. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, hello.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Hello, my baby.
We are. So here we are in Istanbul, Turkey. Never been in Turkey before.
What day did we get here?
Today.
Yeah.
So, and we're about to collapse and crash, and we forced ourselves to stay awake, and you've been exhausted and under the weather, and it's been a very, very long 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have actually a ton to report other than we have arrived in Istanbul to begin our journey and have kind of navigated our way and got our path. And we went out walking around tonight and had some dinner and actually, surprisingly, got to kind of immerse a little bit in the culture here in Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
So first impressions.
Oh, it's very Istanbul-y.
It's very Istanbul-y.
Well, my first impression is that I was calling it the wrong thing.
Yeah. Maybe very Turkish.
Very Turkish. There we go. I love the Turkish coffee.
Yes.
For starters.
Yes. Strong.
I think where you and I are on the same page is we love to go to a different culture and immerse ourselves in the culture as much as we can.
Yes.
Take in and learn. And even watching food shows on the way over, cooking shows on the way over here, because I love to cook. I couldn't agree more with the host that said there's no way to learn more about a culture than to learn their food, what they eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it says a lot about us.
Yeah.
And so to stroll the night and after a hot shower.
Yeah.
A little nap.
Yeah.
And just be here and take it all in. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, there's just so much in front of us, but just to have this, we needed to stay awake anyway. So just to kind of get down in the thick of it. Mm-hmm. And just walk around, just walk a few miles around, and Turkish delight and Turkish coffee and some yummy hummus and
just
kind of diving in. Although I don't know, I'm just running on adrenaline right now.
We're a little slap happy, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So there's not a whole lot that we can tell you other than we got here. And we have looked around.
Mm-hmm.
And lovely, lovely people. And people are lovely. Mm-hmm. All over the world, just, you know, in their culture, trying to have their lives, raise their families, find somebody to love, and all of these things.
But very welcoming, very hospitable.
Yeah.
And that is, man, that's such a, I guess I would just say this from an American point of view, that is so refreshing, coming to a place where you literally our lives are in hands of the unknown to some degree.
Yeah.
And a smiling face, a kind word, you know, being eager to help somebody in need, that goes a long, long ways.
Yeah.
And I guess I just look at that and think, maybe that's something I could put it in my pocket and take it back home with me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're not going to talk at length because we need to sleep at length the best that we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for your prayers. We got here. It took 3 flights to get us here.
Well, what were your first impressions, real quick?
The sights, the sounds, a cleanliness that I didn't know. I just never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Like a certain pride. It's not a super old country. And I guess just kind of back in the Mediterranean and the Mediterranean cult, like there are things that I, landscape wise, and I'm like, okay, this is very similar to Israel because we're right on a
right.
And just being here in the ancient Roman Empire and, back in the land. And then just the people, like you said, hospitable and,
mm-hmm.
I guess also first impression, like every other person smokes.
Yeah.
And,
we had to fight our son Ezekiel from, no, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. That took some getting used to, cause I'm not used to going to a restaurant where people were literally taking a break from their food to light up and eat and smoke at the dinner table. And there's no judgment there, just not used to
it. Just not used to it, yeah.
But I used to work in a restaurant back in the day, 150 years ago.
Yeah, 152 years ago.
Yeah, right. When they smoked in the restaurant. And so I was like, oh man, I forgot how much I did not enjoy it then.
Yeah.
And probably still don't, but.
Yeah.
It was something you mentioned was the cleanliness.
Mm-hmm.
I love the produce, like it all being in a row and so beautiful. The pomegranates, the oranges, apples.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, it is so pretty.
But then to think like, oh, I could go get some fresh juice and put some life right back into my, my body. That was really enjoyable to see. And also I texted one of our boys back and said, yeah, it's like so familiar of Israel but yet so different at the same time. So
I mean, largely a Muslim country.
Mm-hmm.
Free, but largely a Muslim country. That one mosque we walked by was so majestic.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Huge and just so majestic. So there's that difference. It's just there's a little bit of a different feel. No less hospitable, very kind.
Yeah.
But largely a Muslim country. So we'll be spending our time here for the next, I guess, week and a half-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other first impression was the, like the fashion. It's it's much more modest.
That's a great way to say it. And much more modest. I was going to say less scandalous.
Yeah, much more modest and even less flamboyant in any sort of way, like male or female, like just not quite as audacious of color schemes and.
Yeah. Much more respectable.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So I guess those are first impressions from a very exhausted mind. And I wasn't going to eat any sugar, but I went in for the Turkish delight.
I mean, we had to. We watched Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Ezekiel, and we're like, well, when in Turkey,
yeah,
you must Turkish delight.
Right.
So and we did.
We did.
Yeah. It reminded me of that. Remember the nougat candies
we
had when we were little? It had like the little chunks of fruit in it.
Yeah.
But now I want those.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to get them.
Yeah.
But your girl's,
I do remember them though.
Your girl's going to be Googling it tonight. So
let's keep them away from me. Okay. I came here going, I will not gain a pound.
Well,
and good one luck of the ways that I will do that is not to eat sugar.
Yeah, good luck.
And
good
so,
luck. I send my thoughts and prayers to you.
I am just too tired. I was just weak.
That's okay.
But tomorrow I will be strong.
Get back on it.
Yeah. Okay, friends. We really got to go to bed, but we will be doing our very, very best to...
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I want to pray for our precious sister, Christine Kentucky, on the loss of her husband. We just ask you, Lord, to touch that family. We just ask you to strengthen her. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to touch our kingdom seeker, and we ask you to touch Lady of Victory. We ask you to touch all of the people of God, all of those who are going through, those in the hospital, those in the prison system. We ask you to touch the family. We ask you to touch our children. We ask you to touch those who are going through on the government jobs. And we ask you to touch in the White House. We ask you to touch in our government and even in our military. Father, you have your way. You touch our dabbers and Lord, let your divine will be done. Give them life and favor. Open doors that no man can close. Oh, Lord, those that need jobs, those that need an answer to a prayer or a test, Father, you have your way. And, Lord, we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. We just thank you, Lord, because you said you'd never leave us. And you said in your word, nothing is impossible for you. And, Lord, we thank you that we got a God that is mighty, a God that is holy, a God that is awesome. Nothing's impossible, and he wouldn't hold any good thing from them that love him. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Help us to look to him with all the challenges. He's not an author of confusion, but he's a God of peace, power, and love, and a sound mind. Lord, you have your way. You're not an author of confusion. You touch America. You touch Jerusalem. You touch every part of our nation and every nation that forget God. Father, you touch the cold-hearted, wicked, empty souls that are doing the evil that is being done. Father, we ask that you take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. Oh, Father, you have your will. Let your divine will be done. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible Community. This is Nicole, Living Christ Redemption Story in Florida. Just calling in some more prayers for the children and grandchildren of the DAB community. And so recently I was listening to a parenting study, and the pastor said just the simplest thing, but just was struck me as being profound in the moment, which was that the greatest channel for which the Lord uses to bless our children is through obedience. And just it was about the importance of us building obedience into their character. And I thought, that's so true. And yet sometimes I forget that. But yes, in God's grace and his mercy, sometimes he chooses to bless us in our disobedience, but it is through our obedience that most of the blessings of God flow. And so it was kind of a convicting moment as a parent, just the importance of building obedience, not just so they listen to us and so we have less altercations with them and all those things, but it is through learning obedience that they will see the greatest blessings of God in their life. So Lord, I just pray for our children. I pray today that, Lord, that you can help us to just give us the wisdom. Give us the wisdom in the moment as to how to speak and what to say and what not to say. And Lord, what to model and how to show obedience to our children. And Lord, I pray that you would give our children a heart of obedience out of a love for you And Lord, just allow them to see the fruit of that in their lives. Allow them to see your great blessings that flow through a heart of obedience. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all the things that you bring into our lives and just these little nuggets of wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, I would like you to join with me in prayer for my sister Carol. Lesions were found in her lung. Please pray that all those lesions are benign, and this will be a testimony to bring glory to God's name. Thank you.
Hello, this is Hopeful Daughter in Washington. I'm a first-time caller. Been listening on and off for a few years. I used to wake my son Liam up every morning with the kids' daily audio Bible. I felt prompted to call and ask for prayer while he was battling cancer, but I would ignore those promptings. I can't for the life of me understand why now. My son Liam named the tumor he was battling Goliath. My son Liam defeated Goliath, but the Philistines in his lungs forgot to flee. This resulted in Liam going to be home with Abba. That was 2.5 years ago. My son's faith was beautiful. After he passed, my trauma response was to freeze. The best way I can describe this is I felt like I put myself in a corner, trying to process what had happened to me. I wasn't angry with Abba, but my feelings were hurt as we were believing and praying for healing. I know my son is healed, but that's not the way that I was praying. I just couldn't or wouldn't talk to Abba. I've been slowly taking steps out of the corner and began working to build my relationship with Abba again. This is me continuing to step out boldly and asking for prayer for my daddy. I miss him so much. My dad, Kenny, relapsed shortly after my son, Liam, was diagnosed with cancer. I'm asking you to join me in prayer for him to break the cycle of addiction and for his salvation. I also want to pray for those struggling to call in for prayer requests. I amplify and echo your prayers. Abba knows. Thank you, Daily Audio Bible. Thank you, Brian. This is October 8th, and praying for your safe travels, and I can't wait to see where you take us. I got my toothbrush.